Hello, everyone. I'm Command Sergeant Major Retired Troy Welch, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today Podcast. Our newest discussion topic, especially for non-commissioned officers and for senior leaders, is mentorship. For our discussion today, we will explore the importance of mentorship and the impact it can have on those seeking mentorship, as well as those who choose to be a mentor. We will then dive into the why discussion so we can understand why mentorship is important, and the challenges of finding a mentor, and the impacts on developing leaders for the future. So, this is a great subject to discuss, and the best person to have this discussion with is my co-host here in the studio, our Sergeant Major of the Army retired, Kenneth Preston. SMA, welcome to Soldier Today Podcast.
Thanks, Sergeant Major. I'm glad to be here.
SMA, according to Army doctrine, mentorship is a voluntary and developmental relationship that exists between a person with greater experience and a person with less experience, characterized by mutual trust and respect. So I did a little research, and I found this example, a well-known example of military mentorship, that of Major General Fox Connor and his relationship with subordinates. Some of his subordinates included George Patton, George Marshall, and Dwight Eisenhower. It's quite a lineup. Though he retired from the Army in 1938, his mentorship would shape the Allied victory in World War II. During his mentorship of Eisenhower, as a young officer, for example, Connor assigned Eisenhower mandatory readings, allowed him to attend military briefings with other senior leaders, and instilled in him three maxims: never fight unless you have to, never fight alone, and never fight for too long. I think that's pretty sage guidance. SMA, I'm sure you've had mentors and have mentored several soldiers throughout your career. So I thought about what type of questions a young soldier and leaders today might ask and what type of questions they might ask regarding mentorship. I came up with about 14 questions I thought we could talk about. So I think we should dive right into it. Let's start off with probably the most obvious one. Why is mentorship important?
Okay, well, Sergeant Major, you know, first, thank you very much for the opportunity to, you know, dive into this particular subject. And, you know, when you look at the topic, it's a great topic for both junior soldiers looking for mentorship, as well as those senior leaders out there who may be approached by a junior leader seeking advice. So first, you know, you mentioned mentorship is a voluntary and developmental relationship that exists between a person with greater experience with a person with less experience, characterized by mutual trust and respect. So, you know, having been part of a study group for all the services, looking at mentorship programs, we asked both senior leaders and junior leaders what they wanted or expected from a mentor. You know, one of the unique findings for all of our young leaders today is not one size fits all, or not one mentor is best suited for all circumstances. Right. As an example, a young leader today might seek advice on their professional development, their career, or broadening assignments from a leader within their career field they want to emulate or follow their career choices. This same young leader may seek mentorship from a peer or even a subordinate on financial investments for their matching funds and retirement contributions, based on their experiences of these individuals, what they've had up to that point.
Right.
So you could have a mentor who is younger than you. And I use the analogy of, you know, the grandparent seeking mentorship from a grandchild on how to do FaceTime or to use
right.
social media.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the world we live in, you know, with the technology out there now that's available. So this same young leader may seek relationship advice from someone else or seek advice on buying a new car. What we found is young people today want the expertise of many individuals depending on their circumstances. So when we ask the question, why is mentorship important? Clearly the relationships formed between the potential mentor and those seeking wisdom is a relationship that's based on trust, confidence, and the desire to improve.
Oh, that's a great answer. And I agree with you. I don't think one size fits all. I think you can be mentored or coached from anybody. It just depends on what you want to do. So how does a young person go about finding a mentor for their particular area of interest? I mean, what advice would you give them?
Sure. So let's stay focused on the military career aspect of mentorship. For all senior leaders, this is exactly why it is important to be viewed as approachable. It's important for leaders to be visible and present with soldiers throughout their daily activities, present during physical training, present during motor stables, present on the rifle range, eating with soldiers in the dining facility, etc. All of these events provide opportunities to be approached by those seeking mentorship, and the wisdom that you as a more senior leader might have gained over a long career or a specialty course that you may have attended. It's an honor to be asked for advice on career opportunities or views on future assignments or opportunities to be better in your career field or how to make your piece of the Army better than it was before you arrived.
Right. I totally agree. This one I thought was pretty good, and I'm excited to hear your answer. What is the best advice that you can give to help plan a career rather than simply, you know, that whole thing, what can I do to get promoted?
Sure. You know, I always tell young soldiers with those kind of questions, first is to encourage young soldiers to go online and look at their career maps for their military occupational specialty. Each of those occupational specialties in the Army provides recommendations on broadening assignments or specialty assignments at key points in your career. When should you consider becoming a drill sergeant or a recruiter or seeking attendance to some other specialty course like the Ranger, Master Gunner, Master Fitness Trainer, Pathfinder, etc.? You know, for each and every individual, there are individual needs, desires, and motivation. So each individual needs different advice and guidance.
Right. That's great. Great answer. So now how do you encourage innovative ideas? So beyond like just going to a Ranger course or a Master Gunner course, if somebody, you know, coming up in their field has great innovative ideas, can that help them? And how would you coach them in that or mentor them on that?
Sure. And I think that first, you know, being innovative has a degree of risk when you say innovative ideas. As a mentor for a young leader not in my chain of command or my NCO support chain, I might give this individual some ideas, some techniques that I've seen or used myself, but I stop short of making recommendations. And I always encourage these leaders to talk to their first line supervisors to ensure they are meeting their commander's intent and to ensure their innovative ideas fall in line with the training guidance, the resources available, and the mission focus for their units.
Well, I think that's good advice. You don't want them wandering off down the wrong azimuth, right? Even though it might be innovative, they might not be meeting the commander's intent or what their senior leadership wants.
So. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you don't want to kind of send them out there doing their own thing without really being tied into their chain of command. And really, that piece of it comes down to it's all about communication.
Exactly. So how would you describe your personal leadership style and how would you kind of mentor somebody along the lines of being a good leader?
Sure. So I've always first considered myself a teacher. That's how I was grown as a young soldier. And, you know, when I stepped into the role of becoming a non-commissioned officer, I was always regarded to be a teacher and a trainer for those soldiers that I was responsible for, to take the experiences and knowledge that I had gained. And whether it was at school, through training, or just the experience of doing something many times, and make that piece of the Army that I was responsible for better. So one of the things also, too, that, you know, has always been part of my career as a young, newly assigned staff sergeant, gunnery instructor in the weapons department at Fort Knox, there was a sign on the north end of Schedule Hall that read, "The knowledge that you gain here is not exclusively yours, but rather is given to you to take and impart onto others in your present and future organization." So being a teacher, first off, I think is the first part of being a successful mentor. I've also considered myself a working supervisor. You know, I like to delegate responsibilities to subordinates. And of course, as I moved up to the ranks, where I had subordinate leaders. You know, you delegate tasks down to those subordinate leaders. But then, you know, I was always able to jump in and help where I was needed, where there was areas that needed a little bit of, you know, an extra hand.
A little bit of love.
Yeah. Or, you know, for that matter, I mean, just a little bit of extra work on the end of a shovel or, you know,
right.
a breaker bar, you know, if you're down there working, doing heavy track work. But I've always believed in the principles of leadership, particularly leading by example and employing your unit within the limits of its capabilities. So with these two principles, leading by example and employing your unit within the limits of its capabilities, you want to challenge your team. But at the same time, you never want them to fail. You know, as a working supervisor, you're there to push them over the top and make them the winner. And as I've always learned, you know, success breeds success.
Well, I like that. I won't quote it, but what you already said again, what was on the hallway there, but I kind of summed it up as don't be stingy with your knowledge. Make sure you learned it. Somebody taught you. Share that. I think that's a great quote. So, SMA, so do you have a mentor? And if yes, I'm sure you do. How have they influenced you?
Sure. You know, as I look back where I am presently right now and throughout my military career, you know, I have many mentors. Some of my mentors I've known since the earliest days of my Army career. And some I've known just for a short period of time. You know, my mom and dad were mentors for me growing up, teachers in many ways. You know, the most recent mentors that I have are those who I need to help me at this stage of my life and my career. You know, I've spoken with many senior commanders, as an example, who value the presence and counsel of a Sergeant Major. You know, there is no substitute for experience gained through the hands-on, in-your-face kind of learning. I think it's the same for all of us to develop those relationships and build the team. Part of your team, as you're putting this group together, is the mentor or mentors that you seek counsel and advice from. So sometimes mentors tell you what you already know, but their counsel is worth every minute as it confirms that the decisions that you're making are sound and they're based on the information that's available. Sometimes mentors provide the critical thinking and open doors of opportunity that were not known or seen as an option going through the decision-making process.
Right, right. I agree. I mean, I've had mentors in my career and they have told me stuff I knew. And I never really looked at it that way. I didn't get frustrated with them, but I thought, okay, I already know that. But you're right. It did confirm that I was on the right path.
Yep.
So I like that analogy. So what do you do to constantly challenge your underlying beliefs and assumptions? So what guidance would you give like a summary?
Yeah, so challenging your beliefs and assumptions is especially important for all of us as we grow older. It's important to stay relevant and current on doctrine, policies, and technology. This is why it's important to have mentors and why mentors do not necessarily have to be older. Mentors can be much younger, but they have the experiences and the wisdom that you as an individual seek. So challenging beliefs and assumptions are also much easier when you surround yourself with critical thinking soldiers and leaders. Diversity is a very important piece of this, ensuring that the team is diverse, that they're coming from backgrounds that are different than just what you are or what the entire group comes from. So for the first line supervisor who is responsible for three or four soldiers, it's okay for soldiers to ask, why are we doing this? Or why is this done like this? The answer they seek is not, hey, we've always done it like this, or this is how we've always done it. So it is good that, you know, they challenge the status quo. And as time and circumstances change, so do the assumptions and the beliefs that were put in place.
Or the really good one is because I said so.
Yeah, well, sometimes as a leader, you have to do that, you know.
Right.
You know, you have that, don't have time right now, just execute.
Right.
Yeah. There are times, you know, when there's a sense of urgency, but But again, that comes through, you know, developing the team, the loyalty of those that are working for you and so on.
Exactly. Well, I like the fact that you went back to the managers can be much younger, as you mentioned earlier with the grandparent analogy. I think people can get hung up on the fact that, well, you're younger, what can you teach me? You know, whether you're younger in the military or just younger in age. Well, that younger person may have all the experience that you desire, and you'd be a fool not to seek that out. So I think it's important to keep emphasizing that.
Yeah, which is why you have to be a good listener and you have to be approachable.
That's right. And it makes you a better leader. Would you do anything differently given the opportunity? And I ask that question in regards to like some of the mentors you have or those that you have mentored.
Sure. And I will say that there's lots of things I would have done differently. But, you know, we all make mistakes in life. And my analogy has always been life is hard. It's even harder for stubborn people who refuse to learn. And I will tell you that, you know, smart people learn from their mistakes. They improve themselves and they continue to move forward. You know, I'm very thankful for how I was raised as a young leader and the mentoring I was given early in my career. I believe for all young soldiers entering the Army, they are very impressionable and easily influenced. Good leadership goes a long way. And it's key to developing the leaders we need for the future. As our Army leaders have said, you know, we are a people organization, and managing our talent is what will set us apart from our peers around the world.
Cool. So if you were asked a question of somebody you were mentoring, how would you respond to this one? How and where do you find inspiration?
Okay. So for me, I mean, my inspiration has always come from the success of the team and the team members. You know, one of the key things I learned from my mentors early in my career, especially my platoon sergeants, who taught me how to focus on the success of the team and develop excellence in each individual member. You know, it's not about me as an individual. It's about how well the team performs in all aspects of combat, training, socially among themselves, and off duty. You know, the focus of SMA Grinston is exactly where we need leaders to focus their efforts today, and that is on owning the squad. You know, we want squad leaders to take ownership, and, you know, it's not in my squad.
Right, right. I think it's great, and I like the way he's kind of driving that home, and I look forward to the discussion that he has in the future. So how do you keep your feelings, and this is a tough one, how do you keep your feelings separate from your decision-making? You can't let emotions sometimes impact your decision-making, or can you?
Yeah, that's right. So as a leader, it's all about service before self, and the needs of the many outweigh the needs of me. So I believe all of us, you know, we're influenced by our own experiences. You know, the key to separating personal feelings from a decision is to lay all the cards on the table, do the analytical gymnastics to understand all the pros and the cons, do the staff analysis in your own mind so that the decisions you are making are based on known information. You always make the decisions that are best for the organization and not necessarily for you as an individual. It's always about, you know, choosing the tough right decision over the easy wrong.
Exactly right. So what values, and the Army has the great, wonderful 7 Army values, and there are a few that are given, but what values are you committed to?
Okay, so when you look at all 7 Army values, they're all important to me as a leader and as a teacher. I think our values and our ethos is what makes our Army great. And that's why we talk about them in the Soldier's Creed. We are a people-centric organization, and we instill those values and that ethos in our soldiers from day one. Now, personally for me, if I could only pick one value as a favorite, you know, I'd pick loyalty. Loyalty is one of those values I've always deeply respected and expected for those soldiers who are my subordinates, my peers, and my superiors.
I couldn't agree with you more. I have to say that's probably one of my favorite ones, too, is loyalty. I think loyalty goes a long way. So I like to think of myself as a very loyal individual. So
yeah, that's right.
This is a tough one. How do you balance work and home life, especially in the Army?
So balance is understanding all of your your physical, your emotional, your social, spiritual, and family needs as an individual, and the needs of those who you work for, who you work with, and who you work around, which includes your family. You know, a senior commander once told me that balance is not necessarily 50-50 as you seek to balance work and family. Sometimes it's 90-10. So balance is finding the right amount of time to grow personally, be a success in your career, spend time with the family. You know, the Army recognizes all these aspects of a quality of life. You know, there are times in our Army careers when the work aspect becomes very demanding, and we don't get to spend as much time on these areas as we'd like to. So, but if you have to spend some time, I tell people that when soldiers, when they look at how they're focusing on these other areas, that time that they have to totally focus on those areas. So as an example, work is very demanding. Maybe you're deployed. The time you get to talk to the family or spend time with the family, that time should be totally dedicated to the family with no interruption, no email, no phone calls. You try to carve that time out to totally spend with the family. So when you're with the family, be with the family.
That's great advice. Yep. Sometimes all too often we're there, but we're not. You know, and I think that's good guidance. If you don't mind, I'm going to tackle it onto this. Do you think that senior leaders are aware that if they remain in the office, that a lot of times the subordinates are going to stay there with them until they go?
I think that, you know, soldiers in a unit do what their leaders do, or, you know, what they perceive their leaders expect of them. You know, and it's one of those, again, it goes back to leading by example. So I think that leaders, you know, getting away, if you have a family time carved out, you know, during the work week, it's one of those times where, you know, the leader has to, you know, break away and go and spend that time with the family to demonstrate that that's an expectation for the soldiers that are beneath them, you know, right, the subordinates.
Right. No, great. I appreciate your response to that. So if I was your mentee, do you have any books that you would suggest that I read?
Yeah. So as I thought about this, you know, one of the most inspirational books I've read was titled The Hero of Bataan by Dwayne Schultz, which focuses on the life and the leadership of General Jonathan Wainwright in the Philippines after the attack on Pearl Harbor. So, I mean, it's a great book about, you know, hands-on personal leadership and leading by example.
For those who don't know who Jonathan Wainwright is, there's a base in Alaska named after him, right?
No, that's exactly right. And you know, for being, you know, he was one of those old cavalry officers that, you know, he was like almost 50 years old in the 1940 time period when a lot of things were happening in Europe. So he was kind of put out there in the Philippines to work the missions that we had going on out there so that, you know, we could begin growing the Army for what we expected might involve us in Europe. And as it turned out, you know, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, you know, what he did to delay the Japanese and the Imperial Japanese Army there in the Philippines was phenomenal. Of course, you know, he received the Medal of Honor for his actions there.
Right, exactly right. So for those of you out there, and myself, I'm gonna pick that book up. The last question, we'll wrap it up with this one, and I think it's important because of the time in which we live in. How do you feel about digital mentorship versus the face-to-face?
Okay, so, yeah, and I get this question a lot of times, too, from, like, the graybeards. So, first off, I think digital communication has its place. I think the face-to-face initial meeting or meetings are critical. But digitally communicating with a mentor via email or LinkedIn, for example, is okay, too, once the relationship is established. You know, I'm not a anti-digital communication person, and I know for young leaders in today's very busy and demanding world, digital communication is perhaps not as good as face-to-face, but it is better than no communication. And when time is critical, digital communications can be the best means to get the help that you need when you need it.
Right. I mean, you're right. That's, you know, some is better than none. And if that's the way or the only way that you can get it, then I agree. I think take it any way I can get it. So thanks, SMA. I really appreciate that. I think our listeners enjoy it. So to all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us. For all of your AUSA Army podcasts, visit Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Stay tuned next week for an episode of Army Real Talk. Thanks again, SMA. Army strong. Hua.
Hua, Army strong.